morning, New Life Church. Please stand with us as we worship this morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you that we can all be here today and that we are all able to worship you together in your house today. I pray that you'll prepare our hearts for the service and that you'll speak to us in ways that we need to be spoken to. In your name, amen. Thank you. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen all the sweetest of lies. When my heart becomes free and my shame. be seated.
Thank you, worship team. Welcome, everyone. It's great to see everyone. My name is Eric Van Egmond, and I'm your host this morning. For starters, I want to invite the kids down to the stage here on the floor. If you're ages 3 to 5 or grades 1 to 5, please come down and have a seat. You'll be continuing to worship downstairs, and we just want to pray a blessing upon you before you head on downstairs. So, and if you're serving in Little Lights this morning or Kids Church, please also come down. Parents, you can bring your child downstairs or let our leaders help them after the prayer. Please extend a hand of blessing over these kids as we pray. Lord, as a church community, we pray for your guidance and blessing as we seek to draw these children towards a lifelong and ever-deepening relationship with you. We read in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Bless our leaders as they bring to life your living word in ways that these young children can understand, so that they will work towards and live a life that will one day be walking with you in truth. We thank you for these leaders, and we thank you for the gift of children. Bless them as they continue to worship you downstairs. Amen. All right, Little Lights and leaders, you can exit to the left, and Kids Church and leaders, exit to the right. Beautiful. All right. Again, a very warm welcome. We're so happy that you are worshiping with us today. If you are a guest with us, please fill out the Connect card that you'll find in front of you or under the seat in front of you, and fill it out and bring it to the info booth, and you'll receive a gift. And welcome to those who are worshiping online. We encourage you to comment and interact with each other. Write also who you're worshiping with, and interact with each other. Want to draw our attention to two young men who we prayed for just over 6 months ago. We welcome back these young adults from our congregation who are away at YWAM for the last 6 months. Riken Bransma and Aiden Bransma both went to Kona, Hawaii for a disciple training school with Youth with a Mission. They spent 3 months in classrooms studying the Bible and 3 months on an outreach missions trip in the Middle East. So Aiden has returned this weekend, and Riken will be returning next weekend. Aiden, are you in the audience today? Oh, there he is. Perfect. Welcome back, Aiden. It's great to see you. So for New Life, thank you for supporting them with prayers and with finances for their travels. When you see them, perhaps today and next week when Riken comes back, or the next few Sundays, please welcome them back. And you might even invite them for coffee or to your small group. Returning from this type of experience is overwhelming. There will be so much for them to share from the past 6 months. Welcome back, and we praise God with you for the ways in which He has led you to be faithful disciples of Jesus. The journey. What is the journey? Well, assuming as followers of Jesus Christ, we are all on a journey that will one day lead us to eternal life with Jesus Christ. New Life is hosting journey workshops, which are intended to equip participants for the journey of faith. They're open to anyone and will feature a variety of topics related to faith and spirituality. The sessions are held the fourth Saturday of each month through May in room 303 at the upper level. So the next journey workshop is scheduled for Saturday, March 23rd, from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The coming session will be hosted by Pastor Nathan, and together we'll walk through some ways to think about and nurture our prayer life. To sign up for the March journey session, visit newlifecrc.ca/events. Also want to draw our women's attention to the Women's Conference coming up. Registration is open for the 2024 Women's Conference. New Life, Gateway, Trinity, and Living Hope are teaming up together for a women's conference on April 12th and 13th that will be hosted right here at New Life Church. The general sessions will feature Grace Fox teaching on Psalm 23. So I was curious about Grace Fox because I didn't know of her and haven't heard of her. So I looked her up last night and discovered that she is a renowned author and speaker who travels worldwide, whose passion is to connect the dots between faith and real life so her audience might live the life God intends. She draws from scripture and from personal experiences learned while living on Canada's rugged coastline, in urban USA, and in Nepal's Himalayan mountains, to build Christ-based confidence in audiences worldwide. She sounds like an amazing speaker, and so I don't think you'd want to miss this. So, also at the retreat will be breakout sessions for crafting, a prayer binder to learn how to swing dance. This is also an opportunity to build community with the other women from the other churches in town and also from this community as well. So visit newlifecrc.ca/events for more details to register for this event. Sounds like a wonderful event. Really keen on Grace Fox and hearing what she has to say. Too bad I can't attend. Seniors lunch. There is a seniors lunch happening on the top floor in room 303 today following the service. You're welcome to attend, especially if you are 65 and over, which I can't attend that one either. Two more years. Our offering today is for New Life Ministries. You can give your offering electronically in the ways listed on the screen or bring it to one of the offering boxes at the front during the fellowship time. Let's pray for our New Life Ministries offering. Father in heaven, thank you for the ministries of New Life. Bless these ministries and the many people, staff, and volunteers behind these ministries that seek to accomplish the same as what we prayed for earlier for our children, which is to draw all of us, including our young children, our boys and girls, our youth and young adults, the men and women of this congregation, our families, and our seniors, towards a lifelong and ever-deepening relationship with you through the many ministries here at New Life. We pray especially for our staff, Pastors Nathan and Sean, Sam and Janessa Marg, Jake, Taylor, Tiana, and Marguerite, Kim, and Jennifer. Bless them. Give them wisdom and guidance, patience and strength as they work directly and behind the scenes to support ministries that will touch our lives with the transforming love of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. We're now going to enter into our three-minute fellowship time. This is a time for us to greet each other and especially look for those who you may not know, who might be new here, and make them feel welcome and introduce yourselves to them. It's also a time that you can bring your offering to the front or give it electronically. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, please take your seats. I trust that you are all busy passing the peace of Christ to one another, catching up over a week. Let's all find our seats. I know that New Life is a church that likes to gather together, that likes each other, and obviously fellowship time for 3 minutes is definitely a short time, and I hear it almost every Sunday. 3 minutes is too short. I hear you. I agree. That's why there's more time after service for you to fellowship. So stick around. Don't leave right away, and hang out. But right now, we're going to dive into the Word of God together. and hear what he has to say to us today. But before we do that, let's spend some time in prayer together. Father God, it is indeed good to be together in your presence, to be loved by you, to be welcomed by you. You are here. You were here before us, and you have invited us to gather, to worship and adore you in this place. And so as we come together and hear your word, we pray by the power of your Spirit that you would speak to us, and that you would illuminate these words to our hearts so that we may understand, and not only understand, but transform us and lead us and empower us to live in accordance to your word and your will. Father God, we pray for our congregation members who aren't able to make it in person, who are homebound, who are sick, who are battling an illness. We pray, Lord, that you would draw near to them. May they be embraced in your presence. May they sense your presence in this time. As they draw near to you, Lord, we pray that you would draw near to them, heal them, strengthen them, restore their health. And if there are those in us, among us, who are anxious, who are afraid, who are worried with so many things that are happening in their lives, in the world around them, we pray, Father, that you would draw near to them and that you would comfort them. Still their hearts, Lord, and give them peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you all know, we have been going through a sermon series called More Than a Good Idea, looking at the various spiritual disciplines for us to engage in and practice during the season of Lent. Lent is a season leading up to Easter where we think about the sufferings of Christ. And it's 40 days because it's reflective of the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. And so just like Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting, we're encouraged to fast, perhaps from media, perhaps from coffee, tea, or chocolate, perhaps from Netflix, whatever it may be, we're encouraged to fast from these things so that we can be filled more by his presence, by his goodness. And not only fast, but through various spiritual disciplines so that we'd be drawn near to God, that we would have these spaces and time where we enter into his presence to encounter him in our lives. Andrew Root, one of the Christian authors and professors, in his book, When Church Stops Working, he writes that real crisis in the Western church today is the ignorance of encountering God. The real crisis in the Western church is the ignorance of encountering God. Not the decline of attendance, not the decline in numbers, not the secularization of Christians, not the growing apathy or the attitude of anti-religious institutions, but ignorance. Ignorance in encountering the living God. He laments that many churches in the West have fallen into treating God as just a good idea. We treat God as one among many good options, a good way to live, perhaps. We're currently going through, as I mentioned, a sermon series called More Than a Good Idea, looking at various spiritual disciplines. And we do this, we engage in the spiritual disciplines so that we would encounter God in our lives. It's not that spiritual disciplines in and of themselves are more than a good idea, but there's some, and they're not just some sacred practice that brings transformation in us. They are, after all, just practices. But spiritual disciplines create space in our lives for the living God who graciously meets us in these practices to transform us, to deepen our faith in him, despite our feeble and imperfect attempts of actually practicing these disciplines. It's not the disciplines themselves have the transforming power, but God who meets us in these disciplines that transform us. And that's why we encourage ourselves to practice these disciplines so that we would encounter God, so that we would not become ignorant of the living God's presence in our lives. But let's face it, whether you're single or married, working full-time jobs with three or more kids, or retired empty nesters, we all have lives that are so full with things that require much time and attention. But in the midst of such full lives, the spiritual disciplines help us to create space, however short and inconsistent they may be, to encounter the living God in the most ordinary yet busy lives. Our vision at New Life is to touch lives with the transforming love of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a church that touches people's lives with the transforming love of Jesus Christ, we need to first be a church that encounters the transforming love of Jesus in our own lives by making ourselves available to Him to meet us and to touch us with His transforming love. After all, encountering the love of Christ is one of the pillars to live out our vision at New Life. It says on our website, through daily prayer and weekly worship, we seek stronger faith and deeper intimacy with God, drawing on His perfect love to transform our lives and equip us to touch the lives of others. I believe the spiritual disciplines help us to live this out. More specifically, the spiritual discipline of solitude and silence helps us to deepen our intimacy with God, allows us to be filled by His perfect love, and equips us to touch the lives of others. Today's passage comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32, where we see Jesus inviting His disciples to withdraw from the crowd to be with Him in the busyness of ministry. So let's read the passage together. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The apostles returned to Jesus and told Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. As we've seen this scene from this short passage, the spiritual discipline of solitude and silence is an invitation. It's an invitation by Jesus to come away to be with Him. In the story we have read, to put it in context, the 12 disciples return to Jesus from being sent out for ministry early on in the chapter. He sends them out two by two to minister, to teach, and to cast out demons. So they come back to Jesus, and they report to Him all that they have done and taught. They're excited. They've seen God at work through them. They're excited to report to Him what has happened. And Jesus, in response, says to them, "Come away to a remote place by yourselves and rest a while." Mark, the writer of this gospel, tells us that this was because the disciples didn't even have a chance to eat due to the many people coming and going. So Jesus invites them to come away with Him alone to a remote place. Yes, the invitation is given to the 12 at the same time, so technically not a one-on-one type of solitude. But nevertheless, Mark emphasizes by repetition of the phrase "by yourselves," "by themselves," in just two short verses, that this invitation is to each of His disciples to withdraw by themselves with Him. Jesus's invitation is not simply for them to be alone by themselves, but to be with Him. Jesus is inviting them to be with Him. The practice of solitude is not simply an invitation to be alone, but it's an invitation to be alone with Jesus. As Jesus invited his disciples into fellowship with him in private, away from the busy demands of the crowd, so the practice of solitude and silence is his invitation to us to fellowship with him in private, away from the busy demands of life. In other words, the spiritual discipline of solitude and silence is an invitation to abide in Jesus. If we consider ourselves a disciple of Jesus, abiding in him is an absolute necessity. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Our priority as his disciples is to be with Jesus than doing things for Jesus. Because without abiding in him, we bear no fruit. In our ministries and all that we do to serve him are fruitless toil if we're not abiding in him. This is what we see happening in Mark when Jesus invites his disciples to come away with him. By inviting them to come away with him, he's teaching them that being with him is greater than doing things for him. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Sitting at the feet of Jesus is greater than busying ourselves trying to serve Jesus. Abiding in Jesus is greater than ministry for Jesus. Jesus himself modeled this regularly in his life and ministry. All throughout the Gospels, we see him withdrawing from the crowds to be alone with God, his Father. In the midst of endless needs and opportunities for ministry, Jesus often withdrew to solitary places where he could be alone with the Father to pray and to abide in his presence. Henry Nouwen, one of the most well-known writers of Christian spirituality in the 20th century, he wrote this, "Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. We don't take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to him." This is true because spiritual life cannot be lived apart from Jesus. For followers of Jesus, there is no spiritual life to be lived apart from abiding in his loving presence that transforms us. Therefore, the practice of regularly withdrawing to be alone with God is crucial in our walk with him. In order to abide, we also practice silence. Silence in terms of putting away all things that distract us with noise, but also in terms of being silent before God in prayer. Oftentimes, our prayer life could be so filled with simply listing our requests before God rather than listening to him. We're so busy listing out things that we want from him, we spend so little time listening to him. Prayer is less about making our requests known to God so that he would fulfill our desires, but it's more about aligning ourselves, our desires, with the will of God. And in order to do this, we need to be listening more than speaking. And as we listen more, in solitude, in the quiet, withdrawing from the busyness of our lives and in the presence of God to listen to him, we'll find that we're gradually led to rest in his presence. In our passage today, Jesus invites his disciples to come away to rest. Come away and rest a while. It's interesting to note that Jesus invites his disciples to rest. Rest? Yes, rest. Not to another more urgent need that's out there somewhere in another town. Not to a better ministry opportunity. Not to a one-on-one evaluation of their ministry or a coaching session on how to be more effective in ministry. But to rest. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus invites his disciples to come away with him to rest. The invitation comes out of his love and concern for his disciples. It's not to take them away from the opportunities for ministry or to stop them from doing good things. They were indeed doing good things. They were doing ministry for Jesus. They were sent to do this. And yet Jesus invites them to come away and to rest, to cease what they're doing, to be with him. He does this because he doesn't want his disciples to get caught up in the busyness of ministry. He doesn't want his disciples to be ruled by the demands and the needs of people. Jesus knew firsthand of the high demands in ministry. He knew that the needs of people and ministry opportunities were endless. He also knew that his time on earth was short. All the more reason for him to do more ministry, to preach more gospel, to preach more sermons, to heal more people, to cast out more demons, yet he didn't. He withdrew to solitary places to pray, because he knew that he was not in control. He came to do the will of his Father. He was not on his own. So he often withdrew to align himself in prayer with the will of God, his Father. So here, Jesus, out of his gracious and compassionate heart, invites his disciples to leave behind the busyness, the demands of ministry, the needs and opportunities, to come away with him and to rest. Not only rest physically, because as the passage tells us, that they needed physical rest because they didn't even have a chance to eat, but ultimately to rest with knowing that they are not the ones in control. Jesus is. In the same way, the spiritual discipline of solitude and silence is Jesus' invitation to us, which comes out of his loving concern for us living in the modern world, having been caught up with all kinds of busyness, juggling and striving to meet the demands of our relationships with people, the demands of tasks and endless to-do lists, chores, assignments, deadlines of work, pressures and worries of the cultural norm, whatever that may be, and all the fears and anxieties that come with all of that. In the midst of all of this, Jesus invites us, come away with me and rest a while. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book, Invitation to Solitude and Silence, talks about how through solitude and silence, Jesus gives us rest from trying to be in control. She writes that we are perpetually busy trying to control things, trying to figure things out, clinging to the latest idea, grasping at the nearest straw. But by abiding in Jesus through the practice of solitude and silence, we're reminded of the one who calmed the storm by simply telling it to be quiet. We're also reminded that despite our desperate attempts, we're not the ones in control. And as we're reminded of these things, we're led to cease from our perpetual busyness in trying to figure things out, trying to have everything under our control, but instead we let go and surrender to God, who is in control of all things. David says in Psalm 131, "I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother." A weaned infant who is full is completely calm and at rest in his or her mother's arms. The child is not uptight or tense, but instead is relaxed and secure, fully satisfied. In the same way, we can be calm and fully at rest in knowing that we are totally secure in Christ. We lack nothing because Jesus is our good shepherd, who makes us lie down in good green pastures and leads us beside still, quiet waters. In solitude, we're reminded of truths like these and thus are led to recalibrate ourselves, our hearts, to the reality of Christ so that we can be at rest. Not only that, the practice of silence also gives us rest from seeking to be in control. Among many, one of the ways it gives us rest from seeking to be in control is by way of denying the need to validate ourselves in front of others. In his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard writes, "We run off at the mouth because we are inwardly uneasy about what others think of us. When we're with those we feel less than secure with, we use words to adjust our appearance and elicit their approval. Otherwise, we fear our virtues might not receive adequate appreciation and our shortcomings might not be properly understood." So in practicing silence, we let go of controlling how we appear to others. By trusting in who God says we are, we can rest without worrying about others' opinions about us. As we relinquish more control to God, we can be at rest in Him. And out of this place, we can truly love others the way Christ calls us to. Which brings us to our third point. The spiritual discipline of solitude and silence is an invitation to love. By invitation to love, I mean the invitation to love others. Yes, solitude and silence is a way in which we love ourselves by abiding in the one who loves us deeply and intimately. But it's also an invitation for us to love others. Now, how can the practice of solitude and silence be considered an invitation to love others when this spiritual discipline seems to focus on being alone and without speaking? If we're not fully rooted in trusting God, if we're not fully at rest in His love for us, then we're led to seek approval from others, which hinders our ability to truly love others. In her book, again, Ruth Haley Barton talks about how without being filled by God's love in solitude, we're unable to love others because we're always looking for ways to fill our emptiness from others. Emptiness that can only be filled by God Himself. She writes, "We enter life in community, trying to grab and grasp from others what only God can give." She goes on to say that being filled by God's presence in solitude enables us to engage with those around us. Being filled by God's presence in solitude enables us to engage with those around us on the basis of fullness rather than out of need, which then provides us with a different capacity for being present to others in love. In other words, if we're not spending time in the presence of God, fully satisfied in His presence, being loved by Him, and being fully at rest because we're secure in His love, we cannot truly and properly love others around us. Because if we try to love out of our emptiness without having been filled by God and His love, we're always going to be trying to fill our emptiness from other people by seeking approval from one another people, by trying to validate ourselves with our words so we speak more, even things that we don't necessarily need to say. We fill the void with more words so that we can kind of get over the awkwardness because we feel insecure in that situation. Whatever that may be, if we're not filled first by His love, then we're not able to fully love in the way that God calls us. And in order for us to be loved and filled by God, we need to practice the discipline of solitude and silence. And that's why the practice of solitude and silence is not a self-improvement exercise, but an exercise through which we're enabled to love others as God calls us to. We practice it for the sake of others. We abide in the love of Christ. We rest in God's goodness and faithfulness so that we can love others. We love with the love we have received from Christ out of the place of having been filled by God's goodness and faithfulness. Now, at the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned that the real crisis in the Western church is the ignorance of encountering the living God. The spiritual disciplines provide for us with the means by which we can encounter him in our lives. But before you write off the practice of solitude and silence, I encourage you to consider once again Jesus' invitation to his disciples to come away with him, away from the crowd, away from the busyness. He beckons us in the same way to come away from the busyness of our lives to encounter him. He invites us to abide in him. Will you say yes and see how Christ meets you? Yes, amen. And see how Christ meets you in solitude and silence? Or will we still remain in perpetual busyness? What sounds better? Rest with Christ or busyness?
Rest with Christ.
Amen. For me, practicing solitude and silence has definitely been a place of encounter with God in my own life. I've been nourished and richly blessed in practicing this spiritual discipline. And having experienced that, I want to invite you to do the same. Now, I know that not everyone has the ability to practice solitude, perhaps even a lengthy period of solitude, not even a half day of solitude. But it could be a short 10-minute silence, alone in our car before getting home after work, or perhaps a 20, 30-minute walk in silence, meaning no music or podcasts, around Wilbon Creek Park. Or for parents with young children, perhaps each spouse could take turns in spending longer time in solitude and silence while the other watches the kids. We can be creative. It was said that Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles Wesley, who were the founders of the Methodist movement, she raised a very large family and for many years found it virtually impossible to experience physical isolation. So when she needed silence and solitude, she brought her apron up over her head and read her Bible and prayed underneath it. And the children knew that this was her time to be alone with God. There's so many ways we can practice solitude and silence. And it doesn't have to be half-day retreats, full-day retreats. It doesn't have to be an hour long. It could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, alone in the car, in silence, waiting for God to speak to us, becoming more aware of his presence around us in our lives. And there's so much to be said in how we can practice solitude and silence. And so if you're interested in learning more, I recommend the book that I mentioned numerous times in this sermon, The Invitation to Solitude and Silence by Ruth Haley Barton. But for starters, I've also included a short guide for you to try practicing solitude and silence in the sermon discussion guide. Now, if you don't know what sermon discussion guides are, every week we provide a discussion guide, a guide that goes along with the sermon to be used for discussion in our small groups. But even if you're not part of a life group, you can still use this to discuss the sermon with your family or roommates or friends over lunch. You could download them by clicking the link on the weekly newsletter, The Encourager, or you can download them on our website. Now, I can go into detail on how to instruct you to download it and where to find it on our website, but probably the easiest is to just simply email Taylor at the office. So that you can have more time for solitude and silence, of course. I would strongly encourage you to try this practice in the coming weeks and try keeping it going at least for the remainder of Lent leading up to Easter. You might find that your mind is busy, and in the 5-10 minutes, your mind will just wander through all kinds of things. Things that you need to do, things that you need to get to, things that you need to remember, things that you forgot. But as you remain in that silence, as you remain in that space, there will come a time when the mind settles, just like the sediment that settles in water, and the water becomes clear. Your heart and your mind will also become clear. And in that moment, invite Jesus to speak to you. Become more aware and in tune with his presence in you and in your car, in the space that you're occupying around you. And listen. He's present with you. Ask him to help him, help you to become more aware of his presence in your life. Now, as we close the sermon, I thought it'd be fitting to practice silence. I know not everybody is comfortable with silence, especially in a gathered setting like this. But I think it would be a good thing to be silent here in God's presence after having heard all the things that we've heard. Perhaps there's some stirrings in your heart that God is speaking to you, things that God is bringing to your attention in your heart. I want to spend a little bit of time in silence to be attentive to that. And after a moment of silence, I'll pray and close our time together, and we'll continue our worship in song. So let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and never mind the people around you. But let's be silent. Listen for the small, soft whisper of God's voice. Lord Jesus, we desire deep intimacy with you. We desire to be near to you. We desire to be more aware of your presence around us and in our lives. We desire to be filled by you. So, Father, as we pray, as we go throughout the week, and as we hear your Son's invitation to come away and to rest in his presence, we pray that we would respond with a yes. Lord, grant us opportunities to be alone and to be silent, and grant us the willingness to say yes to those opportunities, to put away the distractions, to withdraw in solitude, so that we might hear your voice speaking to us, so that we might sense and experience your love filling our hearts and our lives, so that we can go and love those around us in the way that you call us to. We thank you for this practice. We thank you for this invitation. We pray that you would continue to lead us and remind us of this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." As you go throughout the week and as you spend the remainder of the season of Lent practicing these spiritual disciplines, perhaps this week, solitude and silence, may our Lord Jesus Christ give you the rest you need. May, as you abide in his love, may that love be a firm foundation upon which you build your life. So as you go from this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and be favorable towards you. And may the Lord turn his make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Go in peace. Mm-hmm.